Welcome to Changeable. This is episode number 296, why you're absolutely guaranteed to get what's perfect for you.
You're tuned in to Changeable with Dr. Amy Johnson. Changeable Podcast is all about breaking habits, ending anxiety, and the ironic way change really works. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hey there, welcome back to Changeable. So a couple caveats or notes before I dive into this topic. First, the title of this episode, why you're absolutely guaranteed to get what's perfect for you. It probably goes without saying, but I'm not talking about circumstances. I'm not saying that if you get fired from your job, that circumstance was you getting what's perfect for you. I say it goes without saying because I don't like circumstances are, there's just circumstances. Our experience of everything is a projection from our own thinking. So there is nothing inherently anything. There is nothing inherently good. There are no inherently bad circumstances. There's just what appears to be happening. And our experience is this unfolding interpretation. So really what I'm talking about here is not circumstances at all. And I never really am, but it felt worth mentioning because I know you can hear that. You know, we're so conditioned to be looking at what happened, and trying to control and manipulate what's happening so that we can feel a certain way. So it could be really easy to kind of think like, oh, you're saying my husband leaving me is like what's perfect for me. No, I'm saying the feelings that show up, the thoughts that show up, the patterns that play out, and I'll go into this, but what is unfolding in that way, at that level, in this immediate, in this moment experience, sensory experience, thought-created experience. And sure, maybe the circumstances play into it, but the circumstances are just what appear to be happening. Really what we're feeling is a mind interpreting that. So that's what I'm going to argue is absolutely perfect and unavoidable. Like it's unavoidable that we are getting all the time and always have been exactly what we need. So the other little note I want to make is about triggers, because I'm going to talk about when things trigger us. And that's an experience people have. We feel triggered by stuff. Now, I bring this up because I made an episode of this podcast, I don't know when, probably about 2 years ago, I think called something like, there's no such thing as a trigger. So I just want to say, like, this stuff is not inconsistent. I'm not changing my mind on that. That isn't like an inconsistency as much as it will for sure sound like it, obviously. I'm just speaking at kind of different points along this sort of absolute relative continuum. So that episode about there is no such thing as a trigger was really very deep, very much looking at like, how does one thing cause or trigger another thing when there are no things, when everything is one, really, when we don't know, like really what that's pointing to is, of course, we experience what feels like triggers. We have theories about our triggers. It sure looks and feels that way in the relative, and it does. And that's what I'll be talking about more here in this episode. But how do we know really? You know, that's kind of where I was going with that previous episode. So as crazy as it sounds, there is no such thing as triggers. And then me today talking all about the things that trigger us, to me anyway, not the least bit inconsistent with each other, just speaking at different points along kind of this absolute to the relative continuum. Today, I'm just going to talk about the relative, how the relative experience. And when I say the relative, I mean like our dualistic feeling experience of feeling like a person to whom things are happening. That's relative. That's dualism. It's not the ultimate truth of things, but it is the human experience much of the time. in that other episode, I was speaking at the other end. So I hope that makes sense. Okay, so there are kind of two sides to this thing about always getting what we most need or what shows up for us. And I'm going to talk about it mostly in the form of what triggers us is absolutely perfect. So kind of the first way of seeing this is that we're always getting what we most need because what we get, what we see, what we feel, what we experience is our own projection. It is these things that always happen, let's say. No one listens to me. No one respects me. Things don't go my way. I always get bored in relationships. That type of thing. This thing always triggers me. You can see when I give those examples that those are our beliefs. Like those are the areas that we have a lot of identification. Those are just little areas that, where there is a belief about a me that always has this issue. Or there is, you know, and we can see through our beliefs and still feel them. So like, I don't know, the whole self-love thing is a big one. Like you might feel like, no, I know I'm worthy. I have a ton of worth. Well, great. But that doesn't mean that when someone says, no, you're not invited to my party, you don't feel like someone just punched you in the stomach. Like you can believe in your worth all you want, and that's fine. And on that, in that way, you know, it's maybe you wouldn't identify that as a belief you have. But what I'm really talking about is much deeper than that. This is like energetic. I mean, it's just these little pockets of contraction that show up that do tend to have beliefs around them. And even beliefs we can see through on a certain level, but we feel them still. It doesn't mean that they're completely gone. So for a lot of these things that do feel like ongoing patterns for us, and I think if you really look, like most people have anywhere from one to a handful of these things that in often one or two kind of rise to the surface, like the, you know, I can't speak up. No one listens to me. No one respects my opinion. People don't include me. I'm too much. I need to stay quiet. I'm not enough. Like those types of things. There can also be things, like I mentioned, I always get bored in relationships or like this thing bothers me. There's many, many things that come up in relation to other people. That just seem to come up over and over and over and over again. And you know, we get, it doesn't take much to kind of see, okay, it's not the circumstance. Now, again, that doesn't mean we don't feel it as the circumstance. So if there's a belief in there on any level about no one listens to me or no one respects me, there's all kinds of things in life, all kinds of inherently neutral circumstances that are going to bring that to light. Every time you're in a meeting for work or you're sitting around the dinner table and everybody's talking and no one is letting you say anything. Or, I mean, there's umpteen times every single day when this feeling, this belief and this little pocket of contraction or suffering or however it feels is going to have an opportunity to arise in any circumstance. It can be a circumstance that on the face of it looks like it would be the complete opposite. It can be when someone looks at you and says, hey, what do you think? You know, but you see their eyes shift away and you feel that as, see, no one listens to me. No one cares what I think. I mean, it has nothing to do with what's actually happening in the world at all. It has everything to do with these habitual, repetitive fears, beliefs, body beliefs, you know, like energetic beliefs, identities. It's really about identity. It's about the basic belief is there is a me who has this flaw. There is a me who has this issue or a me who can't handle this thing that I'm afraid of having happen. That's the basic kind of belief in this. And our body shows us constantly when this stuff is coming up. So the common interpretation is, you know, God, why does this always happen to me? Why do I always find myself in these situations where people treat me this way? Or I get bored in every relationship, or this happens or that happens. People always victimize me. I mean, it so much looks that way. So much looks that way, that this always happens to me. And then that becomes kind of a new layer of something being wrong with me. Like life is out to get me because it keeps giving me this thing I most don't want. Like my biggest nightmare in the world is not being respected or whatever. And why does life keep giving me this? Like, you know, I must really not be worthy, or, you know, all of these conclusions are drawn, again, probably not even on a conscious level. But what I'm saying is it isn't that way at all. That's how it looks. But life, quote unquote, life keeps giving you this because life, as you see it, is that. Life is, your experience is your psychology. There is no difference. In that case, your experience of this person asked me what I thought and then they shifted away and weren't really paying attention, therefore they don't respect me and no one cares what I have to say, that is 100% your old belief. That's what that is. That's not life giving you something. That's your mind creating it and using sensory input that it calls out there, life, them, they, to bolster its own creation. So it can't be any other way. Like, we're going to walk through life feeling triggered by the things that we most don't want to be triggered by, that seem to bother us the most, that push our buttons the most, because it's those pushed buttons that are creating what we're seeing as we walk through, quote unquote, walk through life. So these things aren't happening to you. There aren't things out in the world happening to you. This may not be the most accurate thing either, but it's more like they're happening from you. They're happening as you. They are you. You being, I mean, you is not really a great way to say that there either, but they are the you that you identify with. Like, they're happening from this sense of a you who has this issue or insecurity. They're happening as this sense of a you that has this issue or insecurity. This sense of a you that has an issue or insecurity is thought. It is not there. Look for it. See if you find it. You will not find it outside of thought. So it's habitual thought showing up with the feeling of the lack, with the feeling of the insecurity, with the feeling of there's a me here to whom this lack and insecurity apply or belong. All of that is thought. It's all rolled up in the same experience. And also rolled up in that same experience is, and they made it happen. And this situation did it to me. And this keeps happening. That is also thought. It is all just showing up in that exact same way. So the good news is that this is what we want. This is the opportunity. Being triggered by our own projection, by our own mind, because that's the only thing that can trigger us. Our own thinking is what triggers us. It's kind of back to the initial thing, right? There are no external triggers. There are no other things or other people that make us feel some way, or circumstances that some external circumstance that makes us feel that way. Of course not. We are triggered by our own thinking, by our identification with our own thinking, really, by our own sense of identity that feels very real. That's the only thing that can trigger you. So it'll keep happening. And the good news is we get so many opportunities. We can't avoid them. We get so many opportunities to be in this experience and let it transform. We get to be in the experience of being triggered. And we get to be in that knowing that that's what's happening. Now, you might not know that all the time. That's fine. But how it typically is we're in the, as I mentioned, we're in the experience of feeling triggered, and we also feel like a victim because something out there did it to us. Now what we're looking toward is like, of course, nothing out there. There is nothing out there to do anything to us. Our, like, thought is doing it to us right this minute. There's nothing else. So we get to be in the experience of that, knowing what that is, or at least knowing it's not out there doing this to me. When we know it's not out there doing this to me, or even when we just kind of glimpse that in a moment, we're going to be a lot less likely to go try to change and fix out there, which all that does is reinforce this victim stance. When we do go trying to change and fix and manipulate, and you made me feel this way and you have to apologize and all of that stuff. And I'm saying that like when we're doing that from a place of needing that so we can feel better. I'm not saying don't ever ask for an apology or don't bring other people. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just saying that when we feel like they out there life did that to me, and then we turn everything, all of our attention, all of our resources out there and try to make them be different so we can feel better, it doesn't ever work, and it never has. And what the process of doing that does is reinforce that I'm a victim and this always happens to me. So now we have the opportunity to completely turn that around and say, okay, life is not doing this to me. I'm feeling my own wound, my own internal trigger, my own fear, my own insecurity, really my own identity. I'm feeling my own identity. And what is our own identity? It's a bunch of thoughts about who we take ourselves to be that are full of holes, that are inherently insecure. So I'm feeling my own identity come up. My own sense of a me who's not enough in some way. And in that, in knowing that, we have this amazing opportunity to be in the feeling of that, to see the thoughts associated with that, to be in the space, just be in this space where this can arise and you can feel it physically, feel how your body contracts. All that is a contraction. It's all it is some physical contraction. So you can be in the physical contraction of that and say, wow, that's how this belief feels. You can notice the thoughts and beliefs that come up. Wow, look at how it feels like there's a me who's like scrambling for some kind of validation. What is that? Where is that me who needs to be validated? How could this me even be validated? The mind might come in again with all kinds of stories and images about how things could be different so you can feel validated, but you're onto that. You're watching this from the level of watching a creation play out, rather than trying to fix or change life, rather than trying to actually help yourself. Because you don't need help. This is not a problem for you, whoever you are. This is you. This is a creation of the you. This is like a reflection of there being a you who needs stuff, who is insecure and needs things. That's what you're feeling, is the creation of this playing out. So the more we get triggered by our own identity, our own thinking, and we get to feel the contraction in the body and see, I can feel this, I can sit in this. And we notice the stories and we notice the scrambling happen and we say, I can watch this. And nothing has to happen out in the world right this minute. I'm watching from behind the curtain this whole thing play out. Then you're going to be free of it. You're going to be free with it. Like, it just doesn't, there's no way that's the same. So let me give you a couple examples. I was talking with a client last week, and that's what kind of inspired this whole thing. And he has a few children who are in their 20s, like young, early 20s. So he's kind of getting used to, you know, quote unquote children who are adults who really don't need him in the same way, at least. And he has a belief that he's had for many, many years. It's just kind of a fear, really, an insecurity, a fear that one can make a decision, and especially around this time of life, in early adulthood, one can make a decision or a series of decisions that can ruin everything. That's a very dramatic way of stating this. But, you know, I think in many ways throughout his life, he's felt that as if it's really true. He might not say, like, he could look at that logically and say, I see logically that maybe isn't the case, but it doesn't matter. The fact is, like, at a deep energetic level and for many years, you know, long ago, like, he very much, that felt very true. Like, there's a clenching there. You can feel it, as I say it, a belief like that. One can make a mistake that can basically kind of ruin your life or really set things in a really bad direction. There's a lot of fear in that. And so that belief has been with him since he was in his early 20s. And now he has children in their early 20s who are making decisions. So what do you think is going to happen? Of course, right? So his daughter calls from college and she's planning this trip, or another daughter calls and she's planning on changing her major. You know, these are things that people in their early 20s go through. They're things that if you don't have that belief, you wouldn't think twice. Or you'd just be like, you know, okay, make a good choice. You know, like, have you thought it through? And I'm not saying they're super minor things necessarily, but they're inherently neutral. So they're going to only show up projected from the minds that are perceiving them and creating them, really. So from his creation, his mind's creation, with this deep-seated thing about making a mistake that could change or ruin your whole life, when one of his daughters calls home from college and is making one of these decisions, that's a big deal. It feels like a big deal. So, and this is happening all the time because he has a few daughters and they're that age. And really, you know, at any age, there's versions of this. It's big right now, but at any age, it's been happening. I mean, and there's many ways, not even just with his daughters, but many ways that this belief that you can make a decision that could ruin your life, many, many ways that has continually showed up for him throughout his life, as long as he's believed that. So he gets one of these calls, his daughter's doing something, he feels all the stuff, right? He has the physical reaction that has nothing to do with the decision that his daughter's making and has everything to do with this activating this fear, this deep fear, old fear that he really doesn't even consciously believe anymore. But it's there. There's remnants of it. It's old. It's just a contraction, right? So he can feel into this contraction. And as much as his mind might be saying, I can't believe she's going to do this, and what's going to happen, is it the right choice? At the same time, he also knows, as he sits in the contraction of this and really is in the sensation of it, this contraction is my belief. This has nothing to do with Annie going away on spring break. This contraction is my belief. It is an old fear. And it's so different to sit in the contraction when it's an old fear versus my daughter going on spring break might be making a horrible decision that's going to ruin her life. That one's going to have a lot of reactivity. I'm not saying you have to follow through, but of course you're going to want to change her mind and protect her and make a different choice. Like, it's going to be so much. And, you know, the kind of sad part is, but totally human, and this is happening all the time, is when we don't really see this, of course we're manipulative. We're saying, well, maybe you shouldn't go, or maybe you should do this, all because we want to feel better. And innocently, so absolutely innocently, but what other choice do we have? When we don't see this, we're going to try to change the world and change other people so we can feel better. So it's so valuable to see this, like so valuable. And again, it takes all the, so much of the fear out of it, because this is not a fear about your child and ruining their life. This is something very, very old that you believed at one time that your body still believes on some level. That your body just needs to, you need to be with the contraction and the feeling that's playing out, and let the feeling be there. And watch how the mind tries to make it about now, because if it makes it about now and someone else out there, it can fix that. It can't really, but it can try to. It can try to manipulate so that you don't have to feel this. But there's like 1,000 steps in that which don't work and are just completely redundant. I mean, none of that. It's all just busy. It's all just the mind being really busy so that we don't have to feel our old fear. But feeling our old fear, really sitting in the contraction of that and watching how this whole mechanism plays out, is the freedom. That's exactly what we want. We want to be triggered by this all day, every day, because it allows us to see it for what it is. Sit in the creation of it and watch this playing out. So you can see how we can't help but get exactly what we most need to see through. Like every single moment of life, this is the most perfect design. Like every moment of life is for our freedom, if you look at it in this way. Every single thing that's happening, and I've talked about this a lot, like life is the teacher, life is the portal. Every bit of suffering, especially, is the portal. It is here for your freedom. It is the invitation saying, hey, feel this. Step through this doorway if you want to be free. That's all it's ever saying. Step through this too. But we run around slamming doors because we don't see that it works that way. We think if they could just be better, then I won't have to feel this. If they could just make a different decision, then I'll be okay. But all of this is coming up absolutely perfectly for us. And it can't be any other way, because it's coming up as us. It's coming up through us, as us, from our beliefs. It's like, it's all a projection. So another example is one that I'm going through with one of our tenants. And it's just a real feeling like this person isn't communicating. I feel it as I start to say it. It's like I just want to control. I have no power. I have no say. There, of course, I know logically, intellectually, I own the home. I can do things legally, right? That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what this is. This is in the moment, many, many times, a sense of like they, like I'm reaching out, I'm asking for things, I'm not getting anything back. I'm not getting back what I want to get back or what I think I should get back. And so it's like, wow, even when I try to do all the things, be nice and be understanding and text and not text and call and all of that, I'm seeing over and over and over again, you have absolutely no control over this person. You have no control over what's going to happen here. And it's like my old, I'm powerless, I'm helpless fear. Feeling, whatever you want to call that. It is a fear, I guess, over and over and over. So when this happens, I get that opportunity to see, God, there's a reason I am so triggered by this. I own the home with my husband. This person is my husband's tenant as well. He doesn't like the situation either, but he has totally different reaction because we're not seeing the same situation. I'm seeing it through my projected old fears and wounds and insecurities and this my sense of identity trying to be secured so I can have things go my way, so I can be okay. And he's seeing it through his, which apparently is much less or at least very different. That makes perfect sense, right? Like, so when this happens over and over again, I'm just able to kind of sit with that feeling. There's a feeling. I feel it in my stomach. There's a whole little contraction thing that happens. And typically during that, my mind is visualizing the tenet and the problem and starting to formulate the arguments. Why can't they just this? And why can't this? And I can't believe they that, you know, like all of that stuff. But that's just my own reactivity. You really want to kind of see this playing out in like a mechanistic way. That's reactivity. We might look at that and be like, well, yeah, you're right, but I'm not right. That's not right. That's reactivity. I'm not even judging reactivity. It's painful, but that's what, let's just call it what it is. That's reactivity. That's not a non-responsive tenet or an irresponsible tenet. That's reactivity. It's not even like, yeah. So I can sit in the feeling of that, feel the contractions physically. Watch my mind do what it does. Instantly wanting to kind of flip the camera and put it out on them and their problem and then kind of rehash all the reasons why this little identity here is the right one and that identity over there is the wrong one and this one is being hurt by that one and all of that and just watch that, be in that, feel that really, not just even watch it, but really like be that, be this whole thing. From the sense of like, this is what continually plays out. This is how this is being created. Just watching it in this kind of behind the curtains, like, wow, how does this go? Oh, that feeling happens. Then this thought happens. And noticing, you know, again, a big part of this for me and for everyone, like I said with my client, like his tendency is to talk to his daughter and try to see if she wants to change her mind or try to talk her through, make sure she's making the right choice about something that she's equipped to just decide on her own. And mine too, my tendency is to send another text or talk to the lawyer or do something, all in service of making this feeling go away. And it's not to say that in any of those cases or any case, there's not going to be some actions taken. There will be. There have been, but it's very different. Like not doing that from just pure reactivity, sitting in what's happening as our own projection, as our own trigger. I'm triggering myself. He is not triggering me. I'm triggering myself. Oh, and I obviously don't mean that in any kind of conscious, purposeful way, but thought is triggering thought over and over. The thought that feels like a me is triggering itself over and over and over again. And I don't know, there's an opportunity to just be in that and watch it play out. And it feels like freedom. And that doesn't mean it feels good. And it doesn't mean it stops happening completely. But I am 100% positive that this is the way through. Like this is the portal. This is the opportunity. Every time this comes up, it's just showing like, oh, yeah, there's that identity again. So I basically just get to sit, as we all do when this happens, in our own little clingy identity and just see what's left of it. And when it is appropriate, ask the questions like, who cares? And when I say who cares, I really mean like, who is in here caring? Who is in here being hurt by this? Where is she? Show me, show yourself, because I haven't found her yet. Like, why? Why does she care? Who even is she to care? And what is this about? And like sometimes asking those questions. But it gets I don't know, more and more interesting. Less and less personal. Which does not mean less and less energetic or sensational. Like the feelings and the thoughts and all of that can be there, but the energetics and the sensations are less and less personal. And in that, I do feel like probably over time, for sure, less and less reactivity, wiser, whatever that means, choices, like different paths of action, for sure. But that's skipping ahead. I just want to keep this at being with what triggers us as the only thing that can happen, because the trigger is the belief, is our beliefs itself. The trigger is our identity. Our identity is triggering identity. And thank God it does, because we get this opportunity so many times to see exactly what we most need to see through if we want to be free. It's just such an absolutely amazing, perfect system. Join me for a brand new 6-week course called Exploring the Me and My Life Perspective. We'll examine how me and my life is a point of view we're conditioned into, a point of view that posits there is a me separate from life, having a life. There are many fascinating aspects of this perspective that we'll explore, such as evidence for a separate me, choice and doership, other people, and fully immersing in the senses as a way to explore this point of view. We'll explore in a small group with video lessons, group calls, and a private forum. Go to DrAmyJohnson.com/meandmylife to see all the details. And as a bonus, I'm giving away a private 1-hour coaching session to the first few people who register. Hope to see you there.